WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm with you for the next 2 hours. Essentially rolling solo. I've got great producer Matt Fontana with me as well, back at the studio at the Galleria. And we've got a special, unique kind of day for you today. We've got a Best of the Browns offseason show. So today we'll be playing back some of the best guests we've had appear on the show, speaking to you about free agency and, of course, the NFL draft, as well as the final days of Browns minicamp. Coming up at 1:30, we're going to hear from Mike Wagaman of Silver and Black Illustrated as we continue to do the Cleveland Browns Daily Opponent Insider segment. So very interesting, an opponent we defeated last year narrowly, but new head coach in Jack Del Rio. They've drafted top five Amari Cooper. You got Derek Carr growing as well. I want to ask Michael Wagaman about Khalil Mack, a guy that Joe Thomas, right here in the Dog Bowl, said he was the best player that he's faced all of last season and is a hands-down Pro Bowler into the future, and see if he can add any insight about the AFC West, the division that will play all four opponents. We'll have Oakland here. We'll have Denver here. We'll go on the road to Kansas City and San Diego. That's a division to me that, with Peyton Manning, you know, still at quarterback, is probably the favorite to win the division. But towards the end of the season, they look very vulnerable with relying on the run game, not relying to on Peyton Manning's arm as much as they have in the past, which is a good thing. But I think that division is up for grabs, and I know that the Oakland Raiders believe they have enough talent to be able to score with the likes of Phillip Rivers and Peyton Manning. And as I mentioned, we're going to have many interviews. We're going to hear from Alex Marvez, Nathan and I from Fox Sports 1. Talk to him, talking about the Browns offseason. That's going to be at 1:15. At 1:45, we sat down with the godfather of the NFL, Gil Brandt, and he'll recap his thoughts on the Browns offseason. 2 p.m., we'll hear from our own general manager, Ray Farmer, right after the draft that aired here on Cleveland Browns Daily. And then lastly, 2:15, we'll hear from Dane Brugler, senior NFL draft analyst of NFL Draft Scout, recapping the Browns draft as well. 2:30 will be the Friday forecast with myself and Matt Fontana, and that will push us towards the final segment of the show. But just some highlights that I want to go over today in sports in this first segment. And I don't think we gave proper due to the Women's World Cup soccer team as they defeated, I believe it was Japan. They defeated Japan to win the Women's World Cup, and it's just a great accolade. And I think because it's a non-Olympic type of championship, it doesn't get the type of attention that it should, and maybe in some cases because it's a women's sport, not a men's. I think the women's soccer team has been so good for so long, and there's so many stars, and we just hope the men can match what the women have done. And I know they're being celebrated this morning, this afternoon in New York City for their parade. Back to some NFL news. Ken Stabler, a longtime Oakland Raider, won Super Bowl with John Madden, passed away yesterday at the age of 69, I believe, from colon cancer. So, RIP to Kenny Stabler, who is outside looking in from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Indians to baseball. The Indians won last night. I tuned in. I watched an inning or two while they were down 1-0 and came back and won. So they're at 41-44, and they are right there on the cusp of 500, and I just feel they're a run of baseball away from exactly where they need to be going into the All-Star break. Let's hope they can bring that home. And then Mo Williams this morning signed his contract to rejoin the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've talked about his dissertation on the Players Tribune about his journey and the circle of life and the circle back to Cleveland, and hopefully to bring a championship here to all of you. So very special day, and something that Jason Gibbs and I discussed yesterday is Jason Pierre-Paul will not sign his tender while he's injured. So if he's not healthy, he will not be a member of the New York Giants. So very tumultuous situation going on with the New York Giants, so much so that a friend of mine who calls games, I believe for CBS, David Deal, a two-time Super Bowl champion, played with Jason Pierre-Paul and the New York Giants, came out and made comments about not giving a guy a bunch of money that doesn't prove to you consistently that he wants to be all in and make the type of money that they're going to pay Jason Pierre-Paul. And just didn't like the fact that the New York Giants trainer, as well as Jesse Armstead, who's kind of like a player liaison, made their way down to Miami. And because Jason Pierre-Paul, in his mind, was not under contract with the New York Giants, he turned them away from the hospital. So very, very interesting situation. And again, Fontana, what do you make of that whole JPP situation? Is this a situation where, you know, you think that the fireworks with two incidents this offseason is something that should be written into, you know, contracts, especially of, you know, franchise type players?
Well, yeah, the first thing I thought of was don't play with fireworks, kids.
Of course.
That's the first thing. But I was kind of shocked, man. And obviously, you've signed more NFL contracts than I have. But I thought there were, like, provisions there. Like, you just couldn't ride a motorcycle. You couldn't go skydiving. You know, there were just some common sense things in there that you just couldn't do. But the other thing that I thought of, too, was, you know, technically, Jason Pierre-Paul was a free agent because he hadn't signed that tender. So I think, if anything, I feel bad for him just because he, you know, he's probably going to cost himself some money. If I were the Giants, I would rescind that franchise tag just strictly on stupidity and say, hey, you know, we'll sign you, but it's going to be at a lesser contract. And if you want to walk away, walk away.
Yeah. And I think, the interesting news that I talked about yesterday is Hugh Douglas, former Philadelphia Eagle and New York Jet, came out and just talking about how he's going to have to relearn his position and be able to function with, you know, four fingers on his right hand. And he said, God bless you with five fingers for a reason. And it's very interesting situation because I think the Giants were a team that felt like with Odell Beckham having the season that he has and Victor Cruz potentially being healthy and returning to form, Eli in a contract year, not essentially worried about the money, knowing that if he does what he's supposed to do, that everything will work out for him. They revamped the defense. Jason Pierre-Paul was a big part of that defensively, and now they'll start the season without him. It's just a very interesting situation, and an NFC East that had a very wild offseason with Chip Kelly and the trade to bring Sam Bradford to Philly. They now have DeMarco Murray. The Dallas Cowboys with Dez Bryant holding out, he might not be available early in the season. You've got, you know, Tony Romo and, of course, Jerry Jones doing everything he can to win that division and make that playoff push. So just a very interesting day. And, you know, for me, when I look at to get back to Ken Stabler, and I'm sorry I'm bouncing beyond around topics here in the first segment, but when I look at Ken Stabler, it's just very sad that at the age of 69, you know, someone who accomplished so much in the National Football League has to pass away at such a young age. And for me as a former player, it's kind of scary because I'm 34 years old. I'm 4 years, you know, out of the NFL. And at the age of 69, I'm halfway to 69. And to think that I've lived half the life that I could potentially live or that Ken Stabler live is kind of scary. And so it was very surreal, and I'm very in touch with anytime anybody, not just a highlight quarterback or a Super Bowl winning quarterback, passes away in the National Football League, because you're a statistic, and the average life expectancy for a player in the National Football League is not very high. And so I do everything I can to stay in shape and to defeat those odds, to be, you know, on this earth with my wife and two kids as long as I can. And it's just a sad day. And I think the NFL Network and NFL.com has done everything they've could to kind of remember Ken Stabler for what he was as a Raider. And as I continue to peruse Pro Football Talk, I think it's interesting, and the highlight is Brett Favre thinks that he paved the way for Peyton Manning to leave Indianapolis so gracefully. And Matt, I'll bring you in here again. And I think, Is it safe to say that, do you think it's true that Brett Favre, you know, him leaving Green Bay and now, you know, going to play for the Vikings, a division rival, and of course ending his career with the New York Jets, to think that he paved the way for Peyton Manning to leave Indy so gracefully? Or because I think personally, the fact that they were so bad and they were able to draft Andrew Luck is part of the reason why it made it so graceful for Peyton to leave.
I think you saw similar situations in both, man. I think you bring up a great point. They had Aaron Rodgers. You know, Green Bay, they were huge fans of Brett Favre, but, you know, they knew that time was about up. You know, they were ready for their next quarterback, and they had him, Aaron Rodgers. I think the same thing, you know, obviously Peyton's injury kind of forced him to leave Indy a little bit earlier, but I think Indianapolis fans, the same thing. They saw their future quarterback there, and they were ready to move on to the next era and chapter of Indianapolis football. I'd be so curious to ask a Colts fan if they would rather have Peyton Manning right now or Andrew Luck. Because I would have to think most of them would be pretty happy with where they're at right now.
I would think so, too. And if you look at, you know, and I know Nathan points it out continually on the show that Peyton Manning is arguably the best regular season quarterback in NFL history. Because, you know, yes, he has the Super Bowl defeating the Chicago Bears down in the Miami Super Bowl. I forget which Super Bowl it actually was. But when he gets to the playoffs, his body wears down. He looks very, you know, dealing with the weather to get out of that dome when he was in Indy and to get out of Mile High and have to play other places. He didn't look like the same guy. And you look to the present with Andrew Luck, and they've been to an AFC championship with a horrible defense. And it's just interesting that I concur with you, Matt, that if you polled Indianapolis Colts fans, you know, right now, they take Andrew Luck in year 5 over Peyton Manning year 15 any day of the week.
And I think that's where you see the NFL, and I think smart fans are this way, and I think Browns fans, we kind of fault ourselves a bit for this. You can't be loyal to some guys. Can this guy help you win football games or not? And I think that it's great here in Cleveland because a lot of the guys that, you know, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, the players that we really love, Dante Whitner, those guys actually do help you win football games. But at a point where you have to start letting guys go because they just can't cut it anymore, sounds like Colts and Packers fans, at least from my observations, they did the right thing. They said, hey, Brett, hey, Peyton, we thank you for everything that you did, but we got to take the next step for the betterment of this football team. And we kind of joke about, you know, you joke about anything, you know, if everything that you're a part of, K&R will move on if I don't show up to work tomorrow.
Right.
You know, anything that you do, no matter how great that you are, the Packers and the Colts, they are going to move on. Just because Peyton Manning and Brett Favre have had to leave the team, and will have, you know, Brett obviously is already retired. Peyton is pretty close to that. Once they retire, those teams have to continue to move on. They don't get 2 years to cry and, oh, we lost Peyton and he had to retire. No, you have 16 more football games you have to go out and try to win next year to make the playoffs. So I think the fan base and the organizations did the right thing to say, hey, we appreciate everything you did. We're going to retire your number. You're going to go into our Hall of Fame. If you ever need a front office job, give us a call. But we're going to let Aaron and Andrew take the reins from here.
Definitely.
We'll see you when we see you.
Exactly. Both organizations haven't missed a step. The Packers have won a Super Bowl since, you know, Brett Favre has left the Super Bowl I was a part of, Super Bowl 45 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andrew Luck, as I said, has been to an AFC championship game. So I would think they would want that change if those organizations were not in the great standing that they are, with both of them reaching the AFC championship game last year. One other bit of note, as we mentioned yesterday, with Gibbs and I, I'm going to be out all next week. So Nathan will be back from vacation, then I'll be back, and then Nathan will be out that last week until on the 27th, I believe, that Monday. We'll be back in full force with this show every day with you, 1 to 3, you know, getting ready for the season, previewing opponents as we've done so. It's an exciting time for me, and something I love doing is, you know, watching film on that upcoming opponent so I can bring all that insight to you. But next week, as I've mentioned, I believe Wednesday, July 18th, the Cardiac Kids, and these are friends of mine over at 4th and Gold, North Olmsted. It's a brand new store. Chris Maris is a buddy of mine, and his, you know, memorabilia store is going to have the Cardiac Kids almost in its entirety. Basically, Brian Sipe, Cody Risen, Doug Deacon, Tom DeLone, Robert Jackson, Calvin Hill, Henry Shepard, Sam Ratigliano, Dave Logan, Reggie Rucker, Mike Pruitt, Greg Pruitt, will all be there at 4th and Goal North Olmsted. And I know Chris and Shannon have busted their you-know-whats at the 4th and Goal down in Lodi in Strongsville and are now partnered up with the one here in 4th and Goal. But it's going to be a great event. And what I'm setting up is for next week, while I'm still out, I'm going to have some of these gentlemen, and we're going to do our best to get Ozzy. We, of course, heard from Deke earlier this week with Jim Donovan and myself. Get Brian Sipe, Sam Ratigliano, some of the greats that all of you still grasp and gravitate towards the winning ways. when they were Cleveland Browns back in the day because of all of you faithful listeners out there. So I'm going to do my best to line up some interviews next week for Nathan and Gibbs, or Nathan and whoever's producing the show, which will be great. And we're going to take a break. And as I said, when we come back, we're going to hear from Nathan with Alex Marvez from Fox Sports 1 NFL Insider, talking about the Browns draft and their Browns offseason and free agency. So it's an exciting time. We're doing the best of the Browns offseason show today with Matt Wilhelm, Matt Fontana on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.